The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But Mary and Joseph did not know it. Assuming that Jesus was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for Jesus among their relatives and friends. When they did not find Jesus, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard Jesus were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to Jesus, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you with great anxiety." Jesus said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what Jesus said to them. Then Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was obedient to him. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years, and in divine and human favor. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel might seem a little bit odd to you. For just 7 days ago, we celebrated the birth of a baby. And the church still looks like it. The Advent candle's still hanging. The poinsettias, while a little wilted, are still on the altar. The Christmas tree's still lit. And if you dig around enough, you can probably find a few candles and bulletins hanging in the pews. But yet today we don't hear about a young baby. We hear of no shepherds. We hear of no mangers. We hear of no stars. We hear of no wise men. We hear of no traveling parents. There's not even an innkeeper here today. What do we find today? We find a young adult. We find a 12-year-old Jesus all of a sudden. And this is the first Sunday of Christmas. What happened to the manger? What happened to the donkeys, the star, the wise men, the shepherds? What happened to Jesus? Well, we don't really know. Today's story finds Mary and Joseph being good parents, being good Jews. They're going to Jerusalem to the temple for Passover, which all Jews were required to do. And so they traveled there. Now something odd happens. They celebrate, and they travel home. But somewhere on their journey home, they realize, hey, we forgot something. Our son. Now we have a word for that. It's called abandonment. And we probably phone Child Protective Services. I'm usually the last one to leave church, and no one's left their kids here yet. Please don't start. But nevertheless, Jesus gets left behind today. Now, scholars over the years have really scratched their heads about this one. Because they're pretty sure that Mary and Joseph are pretty decent parents. They're not ones just to abandon their child behind in a foreign city. So it seems the consensus is, well, 2,000 years ago, no one had cars. No one had SUVs. No one had motorbikes. But people had to travel with their own 2 feet. And thus, since all were to make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem, huge families would travel together. Hundreds, if not thousands of people would line the roadway traveling to Jerusalem. And furthermore, the scholars say, you know, kids are kind of held in, you know, as communal property. So if you're around someone's child and they have a runny nose, you wipe it. If someone's kid's thirsty, you give it water. And this is the way families care for one another. This is the way large families behave. And large families 2,000 years ago had to take care of one another because no one else was going to do it for them. So it seemed that Mary and Joseph assumed Jesus is with his cousins, with his friends, with the family somewhere. Maybe he's playing with the kids behind him on the trip. Maybe Jesus is playing with the kids in front of the trip. But after a day's journey, they look around and say, hey, where's Jesus? Well, I'm sure all parents can imagine how frightened they were. So they rush back to Jerusalem, and they search for 3 days for their son, under every nook and cranny. And of course, if you lost your child, the last place they search is the church. Let's face it, if little Junior runs away, you're probably not going to come to Zion Church looking for him. The arcade maybe, the hockey rink maybe, the playground maybe, the mall maybe. But in reality, how many of you are looking for your lost son at the church? Probably not too many of you. I hope your children enjoy church, but this would probably be the last place they'd come to if they had a day off. So Mary and Joseph find Jesus, and they start to give him heck like all parents would. How come you didn't come along? Yada, yada, yada. Jesus, you should have been there. This isn't very polite. You had us worried, etc. And to them, Jesus says, calm down. Relax. I'm in my Father's house. This is where I must be. And we're told that while Jesus is there for those 3 or 4 days, he's learning. He's questioning the rabbis. He's learning from the religious leaders. He's growing in wisdom, and we're told growing in favor. That might sound odd to us, that Jesus would learn. But we must remember as we confess every Sunday when we say the creed, that ours is a Lord who is truly human and truly divine. The truly human Lord was born in a stable with refugees for parents. The truly human Lord is the one that didn't go with his parents as he was told to do. The truly human Lord is the one who's learning from the rabbis, the priests, the Pharisees, the scholars in the temple. That is the truly human side of Jesus. But there's also a divine side of Jesus. A side that we see today that recognizes this is his Father's house. A side that recognizes there is something special about me. That I am called to do something. And now just how that human side and that divine side live in tension, live in harmony within this one person that we call Jesus the Christ is a divine mystery. But make no mistake about it. Jesus is very human. The same human Jesus that wept in the garden for God to take this cup away from him. The same very human Jesus that felt every whip, every blow, that felt the pain and torture of the cross, is also the same divine Jesus who 3 days later was risen so that we might live. It is a tension and a divine mystery of how these things interplay. And truth be known, there's a lot of things about Jesus that remain a mystery. As a pastor, people often make the mistake of assuming that I'm an authority in all things religious. The truth is, I'm not. People ask a lot of questions about Jesus. Some I have the answer to, but many questions I do not have the answer to. And one of the main questions I always get asked usually starts like this. So Jesus was born, and then 30 years later we find him calling disciples, turning water into wine, and beginning his ministry. Pastor, what happened in those 30 years? Wow, there's a mystery. The truth be known, Luke is the only gospel that gives us any insight into those years. In Luke, we find the circumcision of Jesus, we find this event at the temple, we find the wedding at Cana. The other Gospels do not give us this information. Interestingly enough, there's a lot of apocryphal Gospels floating around. And apocryphal means books kind of outside the accepted norm of what we consider our Bible. And these are all sorts of fascinating tales about Jesus as a young child, as a boy, who was missing 30 years. Some stories seem like they're right out of the pages of a Bewitched episode. Jesus turns little clay figures, birds, into real flying doves. School bullies are bugging Jesus. He turns them into goats. Rather silly stories, but stories that circulate all around. Even this idea that Jesus was a carpenter, we do not find in our Gospels. There's accepted wisdom that he builds houses and tables and all sorts of furniture. We do not find in our Gospels. We have that big gap. For here Christ is living. These 30 years Christ is living on the earth. Christ is busying himself. Christ is walking with us, talking with us, being human. And then bang, he comes onto the scene and things start to happen. Apostles are called. Miracles start to occur. People start whispering. His name gets around. And Jesus is definitely the center of attention. It's an interesting thing. Jesus grows. Jesus learns. And that's what we call Jesus the Word of God made flesh. Because the Word of God grows. We learn the Word of God, it grows within us. It changes us, it equips us, it nurtures us, it sustains us. God's Word does not remain stagnant. God's Word does not remain unfulfilled. Jesus is God's Word in the flesh. Jesus grows. Jesus does new things. Jesus changes how we see things. Every Sunday, over the course of a 3-year cycle, we'll hear the same readings again and again and again. But hopefully they always invoke in you a new experience, a new way of looking at things, a new way of changing how you understand and experience God. I'm just thinking about that. This past Sunday was Christmas Eve. And I met a lot of new people that night. I met a lot of people who are members of this church that I have never met in the past year. I've been here 12 months now. I met all sorts of new people who informed me that they're members of this church. And they came here to celebrate the birth of this little baby. They probably came here knowing it'd be a nice night out. We'd have familiar hymns. We'd have a nice story. We'd have candlelight. It'd be a nice family evening. People love Christmas. As a pastor, I know the church would be most busy on Christmas Eve. And I have a little theory as why that is. Bear me out. Only my speculation. But I think people are most attracted to Christmas because there's nothing confrontational about it. There's nothing challenging about Christmas. When we come here, Christmas Eve, we're confronted with a little baby in a manger, angels, shepherds, prophecies, nice hymns, but nothing confrontational. And if that's your understanding of Christianity, if your understanding of Christianity is just a little baby, is just some nice music, then it needs to grow. It needs to grow with Jesus. Because that same little baby, that harmless little infant, given time, becomes quite challenging. This is the same infant that starts talking about separating wheat from chaff. This is the same instance that tells us that we're in bondage to sin. This is the same instance that talks. This is the same instance that talks about hanging millstones around necks. This would be the same infant that would grow up and talk about going to heaven as going through the eye of a needle. This little cute, cuddly infant becomes quite challenging. This Word of God that becomes flesh grows amongst us. And that Word lives and breathes, and that Word challenges us. And it makes us look within us and realize, whoa, I'm not perfect. I cannot earn my own salvation. I cannot do it on my own. I need the grace and the love of God. And that's how the Word grows among us. We see it in Christ in today's reading. He's growing. He's changing. Mary and Joseph might not be ready for it, but nevertheless, it's happening. He wants to learn. He goes to the synagogue. He wants to hear the stories. He wants to hear what the rabbis and Pharisees are saying. And soon, he'll be preaching. And he'll be filling the world with his Word, with God's Word. And that's a Word that we still repeat aloud here amongst us. It's a Word that's still growing, a Word that's still changing, and a Word that's still equipping. But today, I ask the same question that I asked on Christmas Eve. What does this Word have in store for us? Amen.